want is to grow. Plants,
iris,
are smarter than us.
Violets,
they make a living without any fuss.
Us,
water, sun, and air,
and
are
sun.
All they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
are so terrific.
Plants.
Thanks for joining us in the KSRO Greenhouse. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. It is Garden Talk, and it is live, as always. Join us in the greenhouse. It's simple, 636-1350, or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Good morning, Gwen. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Long time no see.
Long time no see. At 11:05, we welcome the marvelous author Jason Wilson from Washington, D.C. He's written a book called The Cider Revival. He crisscrosses America, visiting America's greatest cider makers from upstate New York all the way to California and other places like Spain and England. He brings in that into the Nook book today. So we'll learn a lot about the cider revival today on the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash. Vern would like a word with us about figs. Welcome to Garden Talk. Good morning, Vern.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, fig tree question. I've got a fig tree that doesn't do anything. And on a recent trip to Portugal, there were fig trees growing along the freeway median, unwatered. And I wondered if anybody knows what those type might be.
Haha, good question. I haven't a clue. You know, there are so many different varieties, and there are a lot of varieties that grow in one country and not in another. So, you know, there was, remember who sent us a bunch of photographs of his figs?
Gary.
Yeah. If Gary's listening, he would be the one who could possibly answer your question.
Yeah, we have a fig guy who we always turn to for fig questions. He's probably grown over 100 varieties of figs here in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He might have the answer to that, Vern.
Okay. Well, I'll be listening, and I appreciate the show.
What kind of fig tree are you trying to grow?
I think it's a mission fig. You know, it wants a lot. It's out here in Sebastopol type soil, the loam, and I just don't want to give it all the water it probably demands.
Well, they need sun all day long, number one.
Yeah, it does get shaded from an oak in the afternoon.
Okay, so that's the problem right there. I mean, with all the rains that we get in the winter, a lot of times, you know, when you put compost on top of the ground as a mulch, then you don't have to water as often as you would other trees. But the sun is your biggest problem. So if you can grow a fig in a big container and put it on wheels and move it where it's going to get sun, or put it in a spot that has sun all day long, you know, chances are you'll get some figs.
Well, maybe the answer is take a cutting and grow a new fig and plant it somewhere else in the garden.
Yeah, and you know, they'll start producing figs when they're really small, and you can do some selective pruning and espalier it if you want, or keep the height down and the shape, the whole big thing. So it's all doable, but your job is to give it sun. Put it up against the building because it'll get more heat than if you had it out in the open.
Okay. I didn't realize that about figs, about the whole sun thing.
Yeah.
I see them from the settlers, the early settlers, and they're doing tremendously in year round springs, and I just kind of took from that the assumption that they needed all kinds of water.
Maybe
I get them way off base on that.
Yeah, you know, there's probably really good draining soil, and you know, maybe the trees don't have access to water as often as much as you think.
Having spent time in Greece, I can tell you that there's fig trees in the most remote, rocky, craggy, inhospitable areas of the world that produce hundreds of figs.
I've seen it in Yugoslavia myself. Yeah. Just rock. You're absolutely right, which anyway.
Yeah, but you're not going to find those varieties here.
That's right.
So.
Oh, so yeah, so it's a variety issue.
Yes.
All right, so I have to research figs. Great. Well, thank you for the info.
Nice talking with you, Vern. 636-1350. We'll take a break and chat with one of the most interesting guests we've ever had the pleasure of having in the KSRO Greenhouse. A couple of years ago, probably 2.5 years ago, a guest showed up to chat about her new book. And Gwen, what was so unique about this guest?
She had a beautiful costume that was, you know, she had like leaves and her dress was beautiful green with trees. And, you know, she looked like, you know, something that you would see in a forest.
Like a tree.
Well, she didn't look like a
tree. Not a tree, but for forest-like.
Like the forest, yeah. And, she belonged with the forest.
The book Tree Girl, Intimate Encounters with Wild Nature, was written by Julianne Sky Arbor. She's a Sonoma County resident and an arborist. And I must say, I have never seen any other book quite like this book. Would you agree, Gwen?
Oh, absolutely.
It is just magnificent, beautiful. We gave away an autographed copy of that book when Julianne visited us 2.5 years ago. And we've lost track with her until this moment because we've noticed that she's going to be doing a couple workshops here at Sonoma State University. Good morning, Julianne, and welcome to Garden Talk.
Good morning, Steve and Glenn. It's great to hear you again.
Good morning, you too.
It's nice to know that you're still out there doing things. This is wonderful. Where have you been these past couple of years? What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Honestly, I just got back from England and Spain, and I was photographing giant chestnut trees and a giant Douglas fir, if you can believe that, in England. And just before that, I was in Japan for a month photographing 11 different species of ancient sacred Shinto trees. So I am really still working on the Tree Girl project. There are many, many trees to photograph, and I hope to do another book for that project. But I'm also working on this new project on forest ecotherapy. And that is just another way to engage people and to reconnect with nature right here in our own backyards, in the parks. We don't have to go all the way to Europe or Japan. We can just connect with the trees right here.
I noticed this summer you had done a forest ecotherapy walk with the California Native Plant Society at the Fairfield Osborne Preserve, which is in Sonoma County. And you're doing another couple events this next weekend, correct?
That's correct. I will be back at the Fairfield Osborne Preserve, which is a gorgeous location, which is, you know, only open to the public for special events like this. So on Saturday, I'll be at an event hosted by Sonoma State University's Center for Environmental Inquiry. And then Sunday, I'm going to do another walk with the California Native Plant Society in the same location. So it'll be two walks. Same location, slightly different. Two opportunities to reconnect with the trees there in autumn, which is my favorite season.
So what will you be doing during this 2.5 hour session next Saturday, October 26th, from 1:30 to 5:30? It's called Forest Ecotherapy. Do you identify the trees? What more than, like, well, you're an arborist, of course, we'll learn what the trees are, but how do you bring another dimension to this experience?
Well, Steve and Gwen, this workshop is really about learning how to de-stress ourselves from our modern, industrial, technologically dependent lives and really learn skills we can use every day to reduce our stress. And so those are through multiple, using all of our senses and also really, really getting down on the ground and resting, taking a rest, laying down on the ground, which you don't often do when you think about going for a hike. Usually you're standing and walking and looking and thinking. And so we're really going to work on what are the things we can do to really just get in our bodies and relax. And also, because it's autumn and it's my favorite season, we're going to look at oak trees and their acorns and learn to identify those trees as well as California bay trees and their edible bay nuts. And we're going to learn about edible acorns and edible bay nuts and how to prepare them and enjoy some.
Excellent.
It's not necessarily, it's not on like a how-to, we're not going to like be grinding up the acorns and stuff, but you're going to learn how to, well, I mean, that's a whole workshop in itself,
yeah.
But we're going to learn how some these trees that are right in our everywhere in our backyard and in the parks, you know, how to harvest these acorns and bay nuts and roast them and enjoy them and do a little bit of wild gardening. And get the same corn kind of benefits you get from your garden and horticultural therapy right here with the trees of Sonoma County.
So that's the Saturday workshop, Forest Ecotherapy. That's from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. And we should give folks the registration site because this is a free event. What's the site for to register?
Yeah, you can go to the Center for Environmental Inquiry at Sonoma State. So
okay.
It's cei.sonoma.edu.
Okay.
/ecotherapy.
Okay. cei.sonoma.edu.
Yep. And then there's an events page. And so you want to go to the Forest Ecotherapy event. But I'll give you something easier is the contact information and who you want to call. Is the coordinator. Her name is Carrie Winninger, and her phone number is 707-888-5616.
And we've had Carrie on the show before. So
that
makes it easy. Carrie Winninger, 888-5616. Of course, area code 707.
And so what I want to say is, actually, this event is full. I have we're full of people, but... Because I'm on KRSO today, and if you call Carrie and say, listen, Tree Girl said I could come as her special guest. I heard her on the radio.
Okay.
Just do that, and certainly I don't want to turn anyone away. And then just also note, if you can't make Saturday, October 26th, 1:30 to 5:30 p.m., you can also come Sunday, October 27th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it will be a similar event. We're still going to explore acorns and bay nuts and how to relax and how to reconnect with the forest and in forest ecotherapy. So I hope some of you will join us.
Can we use that phone number with Carrie to register for either of the two events?
Nope. Good question. No, Carrie is just for Saturday.
All right.
And then if you... if you want to come on Sunday, that's the California Plant Society, you want to email another woman, Ruthie. So her email is ruthiegardengirl@gmail.com.
Okay.
Ruthie with an I-E.
Okay, R-U-T-H-I-E, gardengirl, ruthiegardengirl@gmail.com.
Yes.
And that's for this Sunday, October 27th, 10 to 2 p.m., native tree therapy, oaks and bay trees, right? But that's also at the Fairfield Osborne Preserve in Penn Grove.
That's correct, yeah. And if you haven't been out there yet, it's a really beautiful, special, magical spot. And it's not visited by a lot of people, so there's a, you know, it's still very pure. And it has some very special hidden places that I'm going to take you to.
Okay, so if you want to come to next Saturday's 1:30 to 5:30 Forest Ecotherapy, that is sold out. But... it's not sold out, it's registered out because it's free, it's complimentary. But you can you can call Carrie and sign up, mention that you heard about this event on KSRO Garden Talk. Here's the number, 888-5616. I can't imagine a more beautiful afternoon respite on a Saturday afternoon than to be among the forest, especially with temperatures in the mid-80s. It'll be nice and cool walking through the forest.
Oh, it's a beautiful time of year to get out and enjoy the colors and the light and the smells and the textures. And we're going to taste those acorns and bay nuts. So that's an opportunity you don't want to miss.
Marvelous. Is the book still available, Tree Girl, Intimate Encounters with Wild Nature?
Of course it is, Steve. It's still, and it's on its second printing. So it's doing very well. So if you haven't checked that out, go to treegirl.org. And you can look at the pictures online, and you can go to Copperfields and special order it, or you can order it through my website. And I would love everyone to see that book. And just know that my work as a photographer it's naked tree photography.
Yes.
We're not going to be naked in these workshops. So just so you know that. But it's a little cold, but I do encourage people to have tactile adventures in the forest safely with contacting skin to trees. It's very fulfilling.
Julianne, you're absolutely one of a kind. And it is such a pleasure to know you and to have you on the show today. And we hope that everyone will avail themselves of this opportunity to get back in touch with nature and to appreciate our beautiful native grown Sonoma County trees in Pengrove, California, next Saturday or Sunday. Great talking with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen Gwynn.
Thank you. Have fun.
Wonderful. Julianne Sky Arbor. Very wonderful guest who was in the studio a couple years ago. And good that she's still doing these nature walks in the forest as part of the Fairborn Osborn Preserve at Sonoma State University in Pengrove. If you need that number again, it's 888-5616. Next Saturday's event, Forest Ecology, Ecotherapy, is sold out from 1:30 to 5:30. But if you mention you heard Julia on KSRO Garden Talk, they will allow you to attend the event. 888-5616, the number to call.
Sounds good.
Come back and we'll go back to calls at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com.
Bennett, KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
It's paradise.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
We went on the street to find out what you love about MySonomaDeals.com.
I always take advantage of the hotel deals.
Oh, the restaurants for sure.
Believe it or not, you can save 50% and more at MySonomaDeals.com.
I take advantage of the golf deal.
Visit MySonomaDeals.com often for the best deals in Sonoma County. They're always changing and in limited quantities.
We love the family options.
You'll find savings and fun all wrapped into one at MySonomaDeals.com.
I had no idea.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So what are some fall plants that maybe most of us would not think of putting in now? Can you think of a few to recommend for us?
This kind of reminds me of like Jeopardy or something where you you ask this question. I'm like, let me think. You know what's doing well in my yard? I've got these two asters that a lot of varieties of asters bloom in the spring. They are short flowering, and then that's that. These are fall, summer, fall blooming. One is a white one called Monte Cassino. Believe it or not, though, that one can reseed a bit and, you know, grow where you don't want it to grow. But at least it pulls out easily. And it's about 18 inches to 2 feet tall, and the whole stem with this delicate-looking needle-like foliage on it with white flowers, and it makes an excellent cut flower. So if you have other flowers in an arrangement, you stick that in there as a little filler, like baby's breath, but it's this white flowering aster.
And they're available now in the nurseries?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I would get them in the ground now. There's a lot of perennials that you could be doing, getting them in the ground now, you know, fall planting. This is a good time of the year. Another one, which is absolutely stunning, is Dr. Carlo, which is like a fluorescent-y blue flower. That is just so pretty, and that makes a nice addition to cut flower arrangements.
I like the name.
Dr. Carlo? Yeah, yeah. And other things to plant now? I'm thinking, you know, with my garden, I'm trying to plant things that don't need a lot of water, and then they'll be on their own, and whether they reseed or not, I don't care. There's a Verbena bonariensis, which is a really tall, thin, spindly-looking plant with lots of little purple flowers on it. The butterflies love it, and the hummingbirds, and that guy can reseed, but you can dig up the plants and move them someplace else or give them to your friends or just yank them out. But that plant blooms for a long time, and it's a very airy-looking plant, and it'll probably grow about 4 or 5 feet high.
That sounds good.
The perennial sunflowers, because, you know, my front yard there has that, you know, 50 million annual sunflowers that keep coming up every year.
Now, I hear the word sunflowers. I think you should be planting those in May or June.
Yes, the annuals, the ones that die after 1 year.
Yeah.
So they're a perennial species. And I'm trying to line the street with California native perennial sunflower. Helianthus californicus, I think it is, California sunflower. Yeah, they keep coming back every year, and they bloom in late summer. There's also a really pretty one, Helianthus, and that's the Latin name for sunflower. Helianthus angustifolia, or angustifolius, I forget. That is like 5 or 6 feet tall and has long branches that just come out in every direction. And the whole branch is full of sunflowers that are probably 2, 2.5 inches in diameter. And they make nice cut flowers. And they are just beautiful. So if you think of these yellow flowering plants with purples in the background,
pretty,
or red,
pretty,
or all those three colors
so
together.
So asters planted within those two?
Yeah, you could plant those, you know, Dr. Carlo. Yeah. You could even have the white Monte Cassino aster. But, you know, when you plant things, think of what's around the area there and different plant combinations that will work well together. And there's a few other perennial sunflowers. Maximilian, I think, is one. Salvifolius is another one. And they all have different shaped leaves to them. They all have their unique branching structures.
You'd plant all these from seed?
No, plants.
No. They would
be
plants?
Little 4-inch pots or 1 gallon.
You'd find these in nurseries?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
You would, all right.
Yeah. And if you want the native one, it's probably going to be your native plant nurseries. But yeah, you know, these are just plants that I was looking at. And then they expand, they get bigger and bigger, and eventually you'll have to divide them and, you know, spread them out. But, you know, fall color, those yellow flowering sunflowers, they're just really pretty.
Do you have a recommendation for a great shade tree that we may not know about? Anything that might come to mind?
A shade tree. Well, there's there's a lot of that. Where do you want to put it?
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Okay. Back after this. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Steve and Gwen until 11 o'clock. Plenty of time to reach us in the greenhouse, 636-1350 or steve at ksro.com.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Hi, it's Jeff Davis again, jumping in from on the wine road for Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa. You know, I usually tout the sport and luxury vehicles at the dealership, but there are two big things I haven't touched upon. The Mercedes-Benz Metris and Sprinter cargo and passenger vans. You may have seen these vehicles with the iconic Mercedes logo more often on the road these days. As a matter of fact, I noticed that Amazon delivery vehicles are Sprinters. The Mercedes-Benz Metris is the only mid-sized commercial van. It's big enough for the job, but small enough to fit in your garage. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter features both cargo and passenger vans. They're customizable too, available in thousands of configurations. They're built in the USA and start at just $33,700. For your next business or passenger vehicle, check out Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa on the Corby Auto Row and mbofsantarosa.com, a family-owned business since 1982.
Hi, Austin here from More Home Services. When you call us for a heater tune-up, repair, or replacement, let me tell you what you can expect. Clean. Our technician will show up in a company truck that's clean inside and out. They'll be wearing a clean uniform, and they'll ring your doorbell with clean hands. They'll put on clean shoe covers and put down drop cloths in all work areas. That's right, to make sure your home stays clean. And when the work is complete, they'll tidy up and leave the work area cleaner than they found it. Being clean and respecting our customers' property is one of our core values, and we practice what we preach. So with the weather turning colder and the rain, dirt, and grime that comes with it, you can be 100% sure that we'll keep your home nice and clean. Call More Home Services at 707-433-2250. That's 707-433-2250. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Enjoy the fall harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of winter vegetables, nuts, cheese, and meat from your favorite farmers and ranchers. The Beet Generation will be barrel roasting Romano beans and peppers. Aroma Floral from Petaluma has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. There are artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to seafood and pastas. Don't miss Saturday, October 26th, Harvest Festival and Day of the Dead celebration. There are pumpkins and sugar skulls for the kids to decorate and place a photo of your lost loved one at the memorial altar. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market open year-round Saturdays 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Temperatures warming up a bit. Today, though, it's 71, 63 along the coast with partly cloudy skies. Mostly clear tonight, low 45, 47 on the shores. Sunday is sunny at 77 degrees, 66 in Bodega Bay. Monday, blue skies up to 86, 71 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
You can always reach us in the greenhouse during Garden Talk because it's live every Saturday, 636-1350, or shoot us an email, steve at ksro.com, and we will get right on your question or comment without hesitation. So I need a shade plant in my yard. Do you have anything interesting, unusual that you could recommend?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I have in my yard, and then you can copy me.
Okay.
Some nice shade plant ideas. There's a lot of different Mahonias that do really well in, you know, filtered sunlight, whatnot.
How big?
There are a lot of different varieties or species. Some can be like ground cover type. Some can be pretty tall, you know, 5 or 6 feet.
Oh.
So depending on where you're going to put it. But they have pretty yellow flowers on them, or they have little, you know, purple berries. Some do, some don't. But there's all different types of Mahonias. And they are evergreen, so those would be nice. Oh.
Now, when we say shade plants, does this mean plants that do well in the shade or will provide shade?
No, they grow in the shade.
Grow in the shade.
Yeah. So
some
morning
people may
sunlight.
Have heard, well, no, I don't. These will go well in morning sun and
afternoon
shade. Perfect.
Or filtered sunlight, whatnot, dappled sunlight.
So yeah, Mahonia, evergreen?
Yeah.
Could be 5-6 feet? Okay, perfect.
And or even as low as 6 to 8 inches.
Okay,
so,
that's one. Great.
Yeah, so plants that do well in the shade, they don't provide, they'll provide shade maybe for another plant, but not for you. Another one that's really cool that you might not have heard of is Sarcococca.
No, I have not.
The common name is sweet box, and they have little white, small fringy flowers on them that smell beautiful. I guess that's why they call it sweet box.
Like
that's
mock another, orange kind of?
No, different fragrance to it.
Not as citrusy.
No, it's hard to explain.
Right.
You'd have to smell it to believe it.
Sweet
but
box,
that's
Sarcococca.
That's another evergreen, and it can spread a bit. Depending on how good your soil is and how much water it gets, you know, it can get to be 3 or 4 feet high. Or
so this flower is with white, yellow petals that are fragrant.
White flowers.
And then the... what about the
Mahonia? Yellow, a lot of yellow flowers.
All right.
And they're big clusters of flowers. They're quite striking.
And will sweet box also get 5 to 7 feet or so?
No, maybe 3 feet.
Small.
Yeah.
All right.
Makes a nice hedge, and it's also evergreen. Needs really good draining soil. But when it's blooming, it's a really slow grower, though. That's the only thing. But it's a nice plant.
That's nice. What about a third?
I'm under the gun here. Osmanthus.
Oh.
Okay, there's a ton of different osmanthuses out there. One in particular, I think it's fragrance. Fragrance or fruitigans? I think it's fragrance. Has a smell, little tiny flowers, really small flowers that smell like apricots. And they bloom, I think, in late winter, early spring. So, you know, plant it near a place that you're going to be walking by it, because then you can really smell the perfume of the flowers. There's quite a few other osmanthuses. Delavaney or something. Osmanthus is another one that's very fragrant. The one that I have, the Birkwoodii, which is a big, giant, you know, that's got to be like 6 or 7 feet high and wide now. And I have those big clusters of flowers that bloom early in the spring, and they smell fantastic.
So that will get 6 to 8 feet?
Yeah.
That osmanthus, the Birkwoodii.
Yeah. So there's four different osmanthuses I have in my yard, and they all have nice flowers that smell. Birkwoodii can be semi-evergreen. Everybody else, I think, is evergreen. But so you've got a lot to choose from.
I like the Mahonia.
Mahonia is very nice.
I'm coming back to that one. Hey, thanks for that wonderful photo you sent this week, because I was a doubting Thomas. I didn't believe you were saying your corn stalks were like 15, 16 feet tall. And I said, well, you maybe 10 or 12, right, Gwen? You said, no. You sent me the photo. You look like an ant next to these corn stalks.
Uh-huh.
They really are huge.
That's the variety Hickory King that my friend Tom wanted me to grow, because that's the variety that makes really good corn nuts. So I said, okay, I'll grow these for you, and then you do the harvesting and the processing and the seasoning and whatnot to make, you know, give us some corn nuts.
How did they do it with the high winds of last week, the week before?
Oh, yeah, some of them blew over. But the roots are still attached, and they had fallen on another corn stalk, or they had fallen on something else, onto a sunflower plant. So they didn't quite fall all the way to the ground and snap. So I'm leaving everybody where it is, because they're still green. They're starting to shut down, but I'm waiting for the plant to die back and the corn.
Did he give you any idea when you might be able to harvest these corn nuts?
I'm thinking, you know, from start to finish, like 100 and some odd days. Not like 60-something to 80-something, like sweet corn.
Well, 4 to 5 months.
Yeah, these guys are taking a long time. Yeah. But yeah, and you know, I was telling you before, did you notice the ears of corn are like 8 feet up in the air?
I did.
They're not, you know, within reaching distance.
No, so how are you going to get those? Where do you have a ladder, don't you? 12,
no, just knock the plants over and then harvest them.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I told you they were at least 15 feet.
They really are really big.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I hope you get a good harvest and we can be snacking on corn nuts in the next few months.
Yeah, so far so good. The ears look really filled out and it's just a matter of time. So, you know, we need rain. I know we need rain, but I don't want the rain yet until I harvest these guys.
It's so funny. Don't mislead. I'm almost the type. It's 80, 85 degrees, 90 degrees next week. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I could plant a little more basil. Maybe just a couple tomatoes.
In that 1 week of hot weather?
Yeah.
But remember, the evening temperatures are going to be down in the 40s and 50s?
Oh, yeah.
Good luck. Let me know how that turns out.
From Forestville, Linda, thanks for calling Garden Talk this morning. You're on KSRO with Gwen and Steve. Good morning.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Great, thanks.
Well, I have several acid-loving plants like camellia, hydrangea, and a couple of azaleas in pots. And I had heard that during the winter you should give them something like a low-nitrogen fertilizer. Is that true?
You don't need to do anything to them if they've been growing all season and they look really good. And as they're shutting down for the winter, everything's okay. No, if anything, you could just get some acidic mulch, like fir mulch or something, and put that around the top of the, you know, on top of the soil around the plant.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe just an inch or so. And, you know, that'll slowly break down in time and, you know, it'll just kind of prevent the rain from pounding the soil down. It'll act as a little cushion. And, you know, as it starts to break down, it'll add some more nutrients to help keep the soil acidic. But, no, if your plants were doing fine during the growing season and they weren't pale green or, you know, stunted or anything, then, no, they don't need anything through the winter. No.
So a fir mulch, you said?
Yeah, fir mulch, or if you have pine needles or redwood needles, fir needles, any of that kind of, you know, mulchy material would be fine to just put on top of the soil in those pots.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and then keep an eye on your plants in the spring as they start to grow. Then maybe you could add, you'll have to add a little organic acidic fertilizer to them. Slow release fertilizer would be fine. And, you know, as long as you keep putting a little bit of acidic mulch on the soil, too, that'll help. You know, it keeps breaking down and keeps breaking down, and you keep adding it, and everybody should be quite healthy.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Good talking with you, Linda from Forestville. We'll come back and take more calls at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. Plenty of time to get in and chat with Gwen. You could read her column, too, in the Press Democrat this morning. First and third Saturdays of every month, the Garden Doctor column has been a feature in the Saturday PD for close to 30 years. You can also shoot us an email, and Gwen will see that, steve@ksro.com, if you have a gardening question that way.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5. On April 23rd of 2020, we'll leave San Francisco for 8 days under the Tuscan sun. KSRO and TravelWise invite you along for the ride. Amazing Tuscany with Pat Carrigan. You'll be staying at a stunning hotel in Monte Catini Terme, nestled in the heart of the rolling hills of Tuscany. Unpack once and you're done. Colette Tours will lead the way to Florence, the cradle of the Italian Renaissance. The artwork, including Michelangelo's David, the Piazzas. We'll also adventure to Lucca with its medieval streets flanked by towers, Pisa with its unforgettable leaning tower, and so much more. And Siena, where we'll learn to cook traditional Tuscan dishes. Many other adventures, too, with the help of local guides who know the area. Come with us. Visit KSRO at TravelWise.net or call 707-935-WISE. That's WISE with a Z.
Join Pat Carrigan on the amazing Tuscany trip. You and Pat can check this off your bucket list, and you must get a picture with Pat in front of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Go to KSRO.com for more info. Ciao.
Enjoy the fall harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of winter vegetables, nuts, cheese, and meat from your favorite farmers and ranchers. The Bee Generation will be barrel roasting Romano beans and peppers. Aroma Floral from Petaluma has beautiful fall, pepper, and lavender wreaths. There are artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to seafood and pastas. Don't miss Saturday, October 26th, Harvest Festival and Day of the Dead celebration. There are pumpkins and sugar skulls for the kids to decorate and place a photo of your lost loved one at the memorial altar. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market open year-round Saturdays 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Are the results of your advertising arriving too slow? Could your restaurant business grow if your menu specials pop up on users' smartphones near your location when they're hungry? That's what we do at Waterdrop Digital. We handle the details. You get the results. WaterdropDigital.com.
At Aaron's, we believe good people are all around us. In fact, you hear it on the news all the time.
Window washers dressed as superheroes spread joy at a children's hospital.
That's why Aaron's approves good people other stores won't. Your credit isn't the best? That's fine. Need more time to pay? Let's work it out. Want hundreds of options from top brands? Just lease with Aaron's. We even deliver to you for free. Because good people always deserve better. Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable.
Don't turn off your irrigation system quite yet. Temperature is supposed to be in the mid to upper 80s, possibly kissing 90 all next week. And, you know, we feign surprise. Like, what? How can it be this hot? Well, if we've been around this area for any length of time, you know, we know that late September through late October, even into mid-November, we can see temperatures in the 80s and sometimes 90s. How many times have we hit Thanksgiving when it's been 82, 83 degrees? A lot of times. So don't forget to water. That's the lead question in Gwen's column today in the Press Democrat. Is it necessary to keep watering my garden plants at this time of the year? Is a question from Windsor that you got asked this week.
Well, from experience, as I was walking by some of my potted plants and noticed them wilting, it's like, geez, you guys still need water? So, yeah. And the worst thing you can do is let your soil totally dry out in containers, because you go out there and you're watering, which happened to me the other day. I'm watering everybody. Oh, okay, you're fine. And the water in one of the containers was just running right out of the pot. And the pot was probably about 2 feet deep, about 18 inches wide. And I know for a fact the water should not have been running out that fast. So I know the soil had dried out. So it starts to shrink away from the sides of the container. So you water and the dry soil starts repelling water. So it just ran off the soil, ran down the sides of the pot and out the drainage holes. So I poked a few holes with a stick into the soil and I slowly poured some water in there. And so it was a chore to have to slowly add water every so often. So I gave the soil time to reabsorb the water and get rehydrated. And then once it's, or I couldn't lift the pot up to put a big saucer underneath it and fill it up with water where it could keep sucking up the water that way. So that one pot just caused me so much time because I just let it dry out. So don't let your plant, your soil dry out. And especially going into winter, you know, the worst thing we can do is have dry root system going into freezing temperatures and, you know, there's no water for to keep the roots hydrated and alive and taking water up to the plant still. So,
okay.
You know, keep the soil moist.
And I know that Gwen is going to be the envy of her neighborhood. Why? Because you've already planted your sweet peas. I know that, right? As you promised to do in October.
I did?
Yeah, every year.
Yeah, every year I say and I don't do it. I'll bet you my seeds are like not good anymore. They're old.
Mine are a year old.
Oh, I've been saying this for how many years?
Well,
7 or 8 years now?
Ten years.
Ten?
Those seeds are no longer viable.
Probably not.
But what about, though, is it going to be a problem with heat in the 85 to 90 degrees if we plant this coming week?
No. Any seeds or any plants that you get in the ground, this short little hot weather burst is not going to hurt anybody. If you plant, say, like lettuces or broccoli, things like that, that like the cooler weather, you might want to put a little shade thing on them, stick an umbrella in the ground or rig up some shade cloth or whatever to give them a little bit of, cooler temperature because lettuce can easily melt. You know, you put them in the ground and then, it's 90 degrees and they've been growing someplace where it's been cooler in the 70s or something all this time. And so it's like putting them in the oven. So you do want to protect those really cool, loving, leafy vegetables.
All right.
But any seeds that you put in the ground, your onions and, any of the little grass-like bulbs, onions and leeks, those guys you don't have to worry about.
And are your tomato plants still producing?
Oh, I pulled them out already, like last week or so. Because I have to
room. They weren't producing anymore?
They were. Huh? They were. But I have a freezer full of tomatoes.
All your Romas.
No Romas. Just all the regular sized tomatoes. I washed them, put them in Ziploc bags, and put them in the freezer. And you use them when you need them, make sauce when I need them.
I picked about 8 or 10 this week. We still have a pretty good production coming.
Good.
But the last of the basil, they're bolting really badly. So just enough time to have a couple more basil and tomato sandwiches before the season is over.
I do have some tomatoes that I picked green that I have them sitting in the storage room there in some shallow cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And they're slowly turning red, and we're eating those, and they're fine. But I needed room for the fall vegetables, which I still haven't planted yet.
Good. We'll be back. We could take another call or so in the next 2 or 3 minutes at 636-1350. And actually, why don't we just grab that call before we take our break, because Joe has a comment about cactus success. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show. Tell us.
Yeah, Steve, thank you. I called, I think, about 6 months ago about how to transplant some prickly pear cactus. So they were about 6 feet tall. Unfortunately, I had to bring them down to about 3 or 4 feet, but then I transplanted them, and they're all doing great. New prickly pear, the leaves are, it's growing. They're doing great.
Excellent. Are they growing new starts from the base of the plant as well?
Yes. And I actually buried some of the leftovers, and they're starting to grow where I didn't want them to grow, too. So, they're growing all over the place.
Oh.
And I actually got one flower. It's actually bloomed, too.
Oh, cool.
I was kind of surprised by that at this time of year.
How many do you have in total?
Probably about 50 feet long worth of cactus. So I'm going to say 20 or 30.
Wow.
Kind of intermixed in there. Yeah, all about 2 to 3 foot tall.
Wow. Weren't you going to use a tractor bucket or something to dig them out, something like that?
Exactly, and that's what I did. My friend and I we had two tractors, we dug a hole and then used a tow strap wrapped around the base of the cactus and lifted it up with the backhoe bucket.
Wow.
And just transplanted them over and filled dirt around them so we didn't get prickled too much.
Wow, I bet that was a sight to see.
It was.
And you didn't lose any in the transplanting?
I don't think so. It's really hard to kill them. I broke a few, but at the same time, I didn't lose any. I was trying to give them away too, and actually, I think my mom wanted one so she could start have some starts. But so, I actually did an experiment, left one out for probably a month, and just sitting out in the without being with the roots being exposed, they were growing as well. So I'm surprised how hardy they were.
Yeah, well, they're a desert type plant, and they don't like a lot of water, and they don't like any tender loving care, and and even if you did cut one of those paddle, parts off of it, and then the callus is over, at some point you could throw that in the ground and it just starts to grow. They're pretty resilient, let me tell you.
We love to hear success stories like this. Jill, thank you so much for sharing it with us this morning.
Sure. I'm going to try to figure out a recipe now, too, how to cook the cactus.
Oh, good.
Yeah, maybe maybe you could start a new agave tequila kind of adventure out in Sebastopol.
Well, now good for you. Good for you. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, ferment it and distill it and get back to us.
Cool. Oh,
all right. Good.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. Well, there's another great suggestion of a pretty bulletproof plant, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes people have me worried when they call in and they want to, you jumped the gun. You said he has a success story.
Yes.
But sometimes when people call in, I want to tell you about my cactus that you told me to do.
But can you imagine with all the tractors and digging those up? Must have been quite a sight to see. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Brett.